Good morning, church. Welcome to Church Online. I hope you're doing really well and have been enjoying or enduring this hot weather, depending on how you handle it. I'm going to get straight on with the message this morning because it's going to do us good. Basically, this message comes from a process that the Lord took me through last Sunday evening. Quite a, for me, significant and wow process. I had an absolute thumping headache. San was in hospital, really struggling, in pain, no solutions being offered at that point. And I was fed up. You know, we all get to that place, don't we? Just fed up. But I have learned when I'm fed up to go to the Lord because I know where my help comes from. And I just went, got with the Lord, got my Bible and my journal, and I started, literally my opening line was, "Lord, I'm fed up," which of course was not news to him. He knows how things are for us, but it's relationship, isn't it? I just, "Lord, I'm fed up. You know, I've got this thumping headache, stuff is not right, you know, I'm struggling, but I know you're good. I know you're for me, I know you're for us, and I know somehow you work all things together for good. But it really doesn't look like it at the moment. You know, we know the truths, but truth, we don't always see it playing out in our circumstances, do we? And no matter what you do see, you know, and no matter what I see, I've really learned not to question my foundations. God is good. God is for me. And somehow he will work all things together for good. And foundations are vital, aren't they? Good foundations. If you have good foundations, true and right foundations, they will keep you stable and secure no matter what storms come. You know, if a house is built on good foundations, it will stand any storm. If your life is built on true, right foundations, you will stand the storms of life. And, you know, just those three foundations there. God is good. He loves you. He values you. You're significant to him. And he will work all things together for good. When the storms come, if you believe that, you won't fall down. You won't fall apart. I was remembering Weebles. I grew up in the kind of 1970s and 80s as a child. And we had these things called Weebles. Some of you will remember them, like an egg-shaped plastic toy with a face on it. And the kind of the advertisement was, "Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down." It's a bit like that. You can kind of feel the rocking, but you don't fall down if your foundations, you know, the foundations built in your life are according to the truth of Scripture. So storms, they won't blow us over, but we feel the force of them. And at times, it can feel quite overwhelming, can't it? And that's where I was at last Sunday night. I was in pain, just challenges every which way I looked. And I went to Psalm 61. I'm just going to start with some verses from Psalm 61 this morning. Verse 1, actually. "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And I just sat with those verses and received comfort from those verses. I prayed through those verses and really thanked him for his protection and help. And it goes on, "For you've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle or your presence forever. I will trust in the shelter of those wings, your wings." Truth ministers the truth of who he is and his ability in our lives. It brings comfort and it brings hope for the future, really. And I was just thanking him for that. But I still didn't know what to do. You know, I still had the thumping headache. And I said that, "Lord, thank you. Thank you, this is true for me, but my head's still thumping, San's still in hospital, stuff's still not right. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to pray." And I know healing is my inheritance. You know, healing is your inheritance. But we don't always see it. You know, we don't always experience it. And I just heard the Lord say to me, "I will teach you in the way you should go." And I knew that was Psalm 32. You know, this is why we need to get an arsenal of the word in us, because if it's in you, the Holy Spirit can remind you of things. And I knew Psalm 32, so I went there. And it says in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And I just knew he was going to show me a different way to approach these challenges in life. But actually, I went to the verse before it as well. I started to read verse 7. And it says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And I started thinking about the Lord singing. What an awesome thought. And I knew there was a scripture in Zephaniah. I'm going to read that as well. About the Lord singing. Just listen to this. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quieten you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He's in our midst. He's mighty to save. And he sings songs of deliverance over us. Then I had this thought. And this thought kind of, it was a bit of a wow thought for me, a significant thought. I just thought, what if his songs of deliverance need to come out of my mouth? It's a good thought to have. It was a spirit-inspired thought. God is spirit. We're his body. The physical mouth he has is your mouth on earth. What if his songs of deliverance for your life, your children's life, all the people you love and care about, the people we're praying for, what if those songs of deliverance need to come out of our own mouths? Maybe, just maybe, they do. I was immediately convicted by that, because I'll be honest with you, I connect with the Lord through the day. I pray, I read the word, you know, I'm diligent in that because I know where my help comes from. But my praise and worship had dropped off a bit. And I just said, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. It's kind of just, it's gone down the list of priorities. And immediately I started singing again. That's true repentance, not just saying sorry, but acting on it and changing. And I don't know what I sang. For sure it will have been one of the old songs. I kind of, when I don't have words in front of me, I revert back to the 1980s when I was first saved. I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I Am. To you I sing, for you're the one who reigns within my heart. And I just started to exalt him, recognize who he is, the mighty one in my midst. And the more I sang, the more my spirit rose, the more faith came. Because whenever we hear faith, whenever we hear truth, faith comes. Whether it's reading it through scripture or singing it, faith comes. And we need to hear our own voices speaking and singing truth. And I just started to pray out of my spirit, Lord, you've carried this sickness, you've carried the pain of it, you've carried the sorrow of it. I thought, hang on a minute, that's Isaiah 53. I'll turn there. And we're going to turn there this morning because, you know, we need to read regularly. What, you know, Jesus, I know we know, you know, we can, most of us tell someone else what Jesus did on the cross, but it's good to read it in scripture again. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 says this. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now I personalize, when scripture is true for me, I personalize it. And I just started to pray through those verses and personalize it. You were bruised for my sins. The chastisement for my peace was upon you. And by your stripes, I am healed. And I was, by this stage, I was on my feet. You know, I was kind of, faith was starting to get activated in my spirit. And let me tell you, reading these verses in Isaiah 53, it's quite surprising, really. It surprised me what happened next. It made me mad. I was blessed, But I was blessed by anger. Now, this is weird. I know this sounds weird. Faith came, I got angry. It made me mad. I slammed my Bible shut. I started pacing in my office. My healing's been paid for. Yeah. Sam's healing's been paid for. Pastor Judith's healing's been paid for. Your healing's been paid for. But hang on a minute. We're being robbed. Daylight robbery. Jesus took our sin. He took our sickness on the cross. He paid the price for our freedom from sin and the fallout consequences of it. He paid the price for our healing. It belongs to us. But if you're not living in the good of it, you're being robbed. And I just started thinking, well, Lord, you're not withholding. You know, you're good. You're not withholding this. This is the enemy stealing. And I started to think, right, what happens in the natural when somebody steals from you? They steal your car, they break into your house and take what belongs to you. What do? You call the police, right? I think I even said it out loud in my office. You know, I call the police. And then I thought to myself, well, blame me. I am the police. I have authority. I have power to stop him. What am I doing? We're going to look at it because faith comes through hearing the scriptures, Luke 10 and verse 19. I am the police. You are the, if you're born again, you are the police. Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. That's speaking about the demonic. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Behold, I give you authority. Just receive this personally this morning. I give you authority over the enemy, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. We are not weak, church. We're not powerless. We don't have to behave like victims. We don't have to watch him walk into our house and take our stuff. No. And no, and no, we have the authority and power to stop him. I want you to think about an armed policeman, right? In uniform, with a gun. He has authority and he has power. Authority is the right to take control and make things happen. Power is the ability to enforce it, right? We have both the authority and power over the enemy. Now think of a natural scenario, okay? So you're an armed police officer. Somebody breaks into your home whilst you're there and starts to pick up your stuff. Your phone, your iPad, your bank cards, anything else they like the look of. And by the way, they are tiny in comparison to you. What are you going to do? Sit by? Watch them walk out the door with it? No, you are going to stand up with the authority and power you have, the armed weapon, and say, drop it and get out. You know, naturally speaking, you might make an arrest and get them taken off to prison, but where the enemy's concerned, drop it and get out works very well. Drop it and get out. Give back my belongings and get out. Give back my healing. Yes. Give back my joy. Give back my peace. Yeah. Give back my confidence. Give back my prosperity. Whatever it is that the enemy has stolen from you, you have the right to claim it back. Okay. Jesus' blood paid for everything. That's another foundational truth to build life on. Jesus' blood paid the price for my complete salvation, your complete salvation. Spirit, soul, and body. Everything that you need in life. A healthy spirit, a healthy soul, and a healthy body. We experience it as we believe. Grace comes through believing, doesn't it? But if things aren't working in your life, you're not seeing what you know to be true and what you should be experiencing, you need to find out why. We need to find out why. Don't just live in lack. You know, that kind of victim mentality, well, the enemy's having a go and he's walked off with my stuff and I've just waved it goodbye. Find out why. And honestly, the answer is either flesh or the devil, or quite honestly, both. The problem is never on God's side. That's the point I want to make. God is good. He doesn't withhold good. So the problem is either sin, your own, or someone else's, and you're kind of getting the consequences of that, or the enemy, who is just an out-and-out thief and trying to steal from you. Either way, we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it? I'm not experiencing what you tell me I can experience. Why? Psalm 32, I will teach you and lead you in the way you should go. Teach, in that scripture there, it actually means to direct the flow of. I'll get you going in the right direction. You know, I'll get you thinking straight. We might need to repent and make some changes. You know, we might need to pray and not give up. Jesus said sometimes deliverance only comes through prayer and fasting. Or in the case of theft, where it's just pure enemy, we need to stand in faith and address him. Now, let me just say, you can't just march around, you know, giving orders to the enemy. It's not about volume, it's about faith. The issue is faith. We must command him in faith and expect him to flee. James 4:7, you will know this well. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And it's good to pray that, you know, kind of make that a prayer. I love to kneel when I pray that. Just kneel and just say, Lord, I submit my whole life to you, my body, my mind, the way I speak, the way I behave in life, my soul, what I want, the decisions I make, my spirit. Look, I submit it to you and your will. I'm going your way, and I just want you to know it. But that prayer has to work out in life. It's got to not just be a prayer prayed, but a life lived. That's submission. That's what gives us authority over the enemy. Living submitted. It gives us authority, but it also gives us confidence. When we know our lives are under him and his rule, we've got authority, but also confidence. You know, we speak with faith, like the police officer, you know, with authority and power. When he speaks, he's speaking with the authority and the backing of the government, actually. Well, when we speak, if we're submitted to God, when we speak, we're speaking with the backing of God himself, the authority and the backing of God himself. So authority comes from submission. Confidence comes from submission. We can walk around knowing I have his authority. I can command things in the unseen realm, in the spirit realm. Now, as I was preparing this message, it occurred to me that this James 4:7 scripture works in reverse, okay? Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. But if we don't submit to God and resist the devil, let me tell you, we will end up submitting to the devil and resisting God. Now, none of us consciously want to do that, do we? You wouldn't even be listening to this message if that was kind of the direction of your life and what's in your heart. No, we want to live under God. We certainly wouldn't want the consequences of being submitted to the devil and resisting God. But the safest place to live is in the center of his will, knowing I'm under him. I've got his backing, you know. I'm living to please him. If you're not seeing his blessing and provision in your life, there is a reason. I'm not saying it's always sin. It might be sin. It might be just pure attack and theft from the enemy. But please, for your own sake, for your family's sake, for the sake of your future and your calling God, find out why. Why? Why am I not seeing? My prayer's working. You know, what's the blockage here? Is there anything I need to do? Is there anything I need to change? And don't wait for a crisis. You know, that if you go back to Psalm 32, the next verse after that, verse 8 of Psalm 32, It says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, that must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they won't even come near you. Let's not be like those stubborn mules that have to be kind of, you know, yanked by a crisis to even go to the Lord. Let's just go regularly and willingly and say, Lord, you're my light. You're my help. My wisdom comes from you. Show me what's going on, because I can't see what you see and I want to see what you see. So I'm praying right, or addressing the enemy if I need to. And let me just say, it's really good to start with worship. Jesus said, didn't he, when you pray, hallowed be your name, get your eyes on the Father, just like we've done this morning. It's so good. Worship gets us God conscious. It doesn't bring us into the presence of the Lord. We are with him. He'll never leave us or forsake us. But it helps us be God conscious, to really know that we're with him and he's with us. And it kind of sets the atmosphere to hear his voice. If you like, it opens you up to hear God. So just start to worship. Sing. You might not have the best voice in the world. You know, maybe nobody else likes your singing voice, but the Lord does. Sing. Okay, sing. And singing and worshiping takes us out of our heads, out of reasoning, and into the Spirit. Praying in tongues does the same. Takes us out of our heads and reasoning and into the Spirit. But you know, you've heard us say this many times, don't just chunter mindlessly, you know, pace around, you know, we're not heard for our many words. Keep your mind focused on him. Pray in the Spirit, but then use English as well. Pray with understanding, because often as you pray in English with understanding, you hear God speak to you. You hear God through your own prayer, like I did last Sunday night. Through my own prayer, I heard God to start to address the enemy. And many times our minds and emotions are just not in line with God at all, you know, out of sync. But as we start to pray like this and worship like this, he realigns us. So that our thoughts become his thoughts. Our will becomes his will. You know, we're thinking how he thinks. We're wanting what he wants. It's a submission to him, really. And through that submission, we have authority over the thieving tactics of the enemy. If you don't pray like this, you will not see things spiritually. You will see everything naturally. You will approach everything naturally. And you'll end up going to the world for help. And as we all know, the world has many ways of compensating for the enemy's theft. Many techniques and treatments for the body and soul. Don't go online. Go to Jesus. Don't go to Jack Daniels. Go to Jesus. Because quite honestly, he will give you a long-term solution without the headache. And we need to get honest with God. And pray simple prayers. The Lord, the more I go on with the Lord, when I'm asking him to do things, I pray simple. And my prayers are kind of getting simpler when I'm making my requests. Because quite honestly, if I can't remember what I've prayed, I can't exercise faith for that. On holiday, which seems like an eternity ago, it was only a week or so ago, but on holiday, one morning I just prayed a real simple prayer. Lord, I ask you for a fun day with no challenges. That was it. Okay? Fun day, no challenges. But I exercised my faith in that throughout the day. And guess what I got? We had a fun day, no challenges. Quite honestly, I wish I'd prayed that prayer the rest of the days, because on holiday we did have a few challenges. But the day I prayed that and exercised faith for that, we had a good day, a blessed day. So we need to ask and pray simple prayers and receive it by faith there and then. You know, Mark 11:24, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So we believe and receive first in the invisible, and then we receive and experience second in the visible. But we need to stop wondering if. We all pray. We all ask for a lot of stuff all the time, but we've got to stop wondering if and consider it done. That's what the Lord said to me. When you pray, don't wonder if, consider it done. So we need to pray to the Lord in faith, But my gosh, we need to command the enemy in faith. When you address the enemy, don't wonder if things will change. Consider it done. Expect things to be different. No matter what the enemy brings to your door, if you are submitted to the Lord, you have authority over him. But we've got to use it. We've got to dare to believe we have the authority that Jesus says we have and start to use it. And start to use it by faith. Now let me just say this. I was walking around the park with Reg, and this thought came to me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. We need to remember this, because I think sometimes the enemy lies and intimidates us with the thought that if I start dealing with the enemy, things are just going to get a whole lot worse for me. Payback kind of thing, you know? Well, isn't that how all bullies operate? You know, you try and stop me, I'm going to make it worse for you. But remember that Luke 10:19. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There was a great man of God called John G. Lake years ago in the kind of early 20th century, had the most amazing healing ministry. If you can get hold of any of his books, I recommend them. He's amazing. But he said the problem with a lot of people is their devil is too big and their God is too small. If they could take their God and put him in their breast pocket, he wouldn't even create a bulge. I've always remembered that, because I think that can be the problem for many people. Your devil's too big and your God's too small. And we need to wake up to the greatness of God, not just in heaven, but in us. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. And frankly, kick some butt. Now, I know the enemy doesn't have a butt, but he has a mind that understands. He has ears that hear. He's a spirit being. But we need to start reigning in life. Romans 5:17, reigning in life through the one Jesus Christ. Devil, you're not over me, I'm over you. Don't put up with him in your life and circumstances. Don't tolerate. You know, I'm wearing this t-shirt today by design. Stand up to him and say, no, in the name of Jesus, you're not having my stuff. Drop it and get out. Give back what belongs to me. He's an intruder and he's a thief. He's a liar as well. He's a spirit being, and this is a spiritual business. But unless we command by the Spirit, words are useless. And so the point is, we got to get with God and meditate on the scriptures so that faith comes. I've got three scriptures for you. I've used them all already, but just try and, if you have pen and paper, make a note. If you don't, try and remember. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he who is in you than the enemy. Greater. Luke 10:19. You have authority. You have it already over all the power of the enemy. And James 4:7. Submit to God, submit to God, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Command him in faith. Be confident that when you speak, it's as if Jesus himself is speaking. It's his authority being exercised through you, like the police officer and the government. And when you've addressed the enemy, don't wonder if. Consider it done. Expect things to change. I'm going to finish with Ephesians 6. You won't be surprised to hear, but it's good to read these scriptures. Ephesians 6 is about the armor of God. And Smith Wigglesworth makes this comment about the armor of God. He says, jump in, stay in, and never come out. In other words, put it on and never take it off. Don't take off the helmet of salvation. It protects your mind. Don't let down your shield of faith. Don't drop that sword of the Spirit. You know, if you don't have a sword for your situation, you need one, because you need to be armed. asked the Lord, Lord, give me a promise. The promise acts like a sword against the enemy. Give me a sword. Give me your word on this situation. And hold on to it and use it. When the enemy speaks, you speak back. I've learned never to let him have the final word. When you speak back. He says doom and gloom and disaster. You speak and use your promise. Use it like a sword. You know, you're not telling me how this story is going to end. I'm telling you, you know, like Jesus, it is written. And if you have been in a long battle, and I know some of you have, hard, difficult, and you're tired of fighting, go to him. He comforts and strengthens like no one else. You know, if you're in any kind of battle, I really recommend Psalm 18. Psalm 18 became my armor in the worst time of my life, and I will never forget how this psalm equipped me and took me from kind of down and out to up and over. I'm just going to read some verses to you. This whole psalm really became my armor. It became my helmet, it became my shield, it became my sword. And it starts with rescue. Excuse me, I'm just going to take a drink. One moment. It starts with rescue. He sent from above and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my enemy, who was too strong for me. But then if you go on and you read through the verses, what you find out, the Lord took David from that place of defeat and down and out, and he strengthened him. He gave him strength for the battle. And it says here in verse 31, who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Verse 37, I've pursued my enemies. You know, from lying down flat out, not able to pursue anything, he's up on his feet pursuing. Pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I've wounded them so that they could not rise. They've fallen under my feet. For you've armed me with strength for the battle. You've subdued under me those who rose up against me. You've also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. Sickness is an enemy. Fear is an enemy. We have many enemies that come against us. But the Lord doesn't want to just kind of defeat them for us. He wants to arm us with strength and give us the necks of our enemies. Give us the joy and victory of defeating them in the name of Jesus. We can't do it on our own. The devil's bigger than you on your own. But with God, Psalm 60:12, through him we will do valiantly. Through him. It is he who shall tread down our enemies. But it's him through your faith, through your using the weapons that you've been given, through you singing songs of deliverance. So Zephaniah 3:17, remember that. He sings over you. He sings over you. But Psalm 32, 7, I think it is. Yes, it is. Songs of deliverance. And maybe, just maybe, it's time for you to start singing again. Worship him. Just start with worship. You know, don't go online trying to find all your kind of spiritual battle declaration songs. Just worship him. Just get your focus on him. And as you worship him and recognize his greatness, who he is, he'll give you songs to sing. You know, maybe they're already written. Maybe there'll be songs just for you that come out of your mouth that declare his greatness, that declare his power, that declare that he is God, the mighty one who saves. And he'll show us what to do. But please go to him. Psalm 32:8. Let him teach you and lead you in the way you should go. You know, he'll give you the prayers to pray. He'll give you the ability to persevere. And he will give you faith and this kind of righteous anger against the enemy, so that when you stand and address the enemy, they are not mere words. They're not hot air. It's words of faith released from a spirit of faith. And let me tell you, the enemy can't stand against that. he has to flee. So stand up. Stand up against the enemy. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. I just want to encourage you to stand wherever you are. You know, Ephesians, it always says we're to stand against the enemy. Don't even take a passive physical position. Stand. Stand in the authority you have, in the position that God has given you. Raised in Christ to sit in heavenly places. You've got to see yourself over and just begin to pray. Let's pray together. Jesus, you are our champion. Thank you. You've already done everything needed to defeat the enemy. Thank you that you have raised us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. But Lord, I really pray that there will be an unveiling of the reality of the spirit realm, and we won't just kind of wander around wondering why all this rubbish and awfulness keeps happening to us. That we will stand in the authority and the position that you've given us and use it like that armed police officer with the authority and the power, that we will stand and use the authority that you've given us. But Lord, not just words, I pray for your church, give us faith. Give us faith so that we operate in faith. We speak in faith. I pray for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened today. That we will know the inheritance that we have, the riches of our inheritance. And Lord, that we will go and take back what the enemy has stolen. I pray just for this righteous anger against the enemy, not against flesh and blood, but against the enemy, and that we will deal things in the spirit realm and see results on earth, the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Judith has something.
Just a word of knowledge, really, as Pastor Andrew, an amazing word this morning, powerful, and will bring great deliverance, I believe, into all of our lives and advance of the kingdom. But I have seen somebody's heart. You have a weak heart, a heart murmur or some valve that's not working, and it's causing a real weakness in your body. I don't know whether you tune in regularly or you're just listening now, or it could be a member of the local church here. And I can just see in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you your hand is upon this person to restore, to bring recovery. And I speak to the enemy, that spirit of affliction that's bringing a weakness into this body, leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. And Lord, strengthen that heart so that the enemy will not steal the life of this person, but they will live long and finish strong, that they will go the distance in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that. If that's you, thank him for it and let us know. Tell us, because then we can just tell everybody about the miracle that God's done for you. I believe we need to get the testimony out. And if you've got a testimony from this word this morning, whatever it is, to see the victory of the name of Jesus personally, write in, send an email. Get hold of us so that we can actually advertise the great things that Jesus has done through this word today. God bless you and have an amazing conquering week through submitting to God and resisting the devil. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaith.com.